Your sensors are correct. Do not adjust your heading. You've discovered the Omega Particle, streaming to the Alpha Quadrant and beyond. Here's your host, the anchorman of the Federation, the Doctor of Dilithium. This is Jonathan Wiegand.
Welcome to the Omega Particle Podcast. Like the man said, I am your Doctor of Dilithium, Jonathan Wiegand, and we are covering possibly the most Trill episode so far of DS9 in today's episode called Dax. And this has been a very busy, weird week in world events. In my life, just a lot of work going on right now, which is great. Doing things, checking things off the list, which is awesome. But also having to deal with a freaking eclipse. And I guess we survived the Armageddon. I was talking to my wife a couple nights ago and was like, apparently a lot of people predicted the end of the world with this eclipse. And if you're unfamiliar or not in the United States, we had a solar eclipse this past week. And apparently it was going to be the end of the world, according to a lot of people on social media and all this kind of wildness. And I was here and experienced a total eclipse back in 2017 here on the eastern coast of the United States. And I just feel like in 2017, it was like we didn't have any of this dread and conspiracy that we have in 2024. And it led to like a really in-depth discussion. Like I said, I was talking with my wife and it's like, wow, social media has really influenced and changed us as a society. And all I'm saying is, so please go on and follow us on social media. I'm kidding. But no, there's some truth to that. Like how in 2017, like there was no negative things about the eclipse. You know, it was just a cool, like astronomical event. And that was it. And then now in 2024, it was completely different. In a way, I think that's sad. But you know what? We are a beacon of guiding light here on the OPP program. So follow us on social media. We like to have fun. Try to keep it pretty lighthearted. So if you want a break in the middle of your day, please follow us on there. But I guess that's my PSA for the day. And speaking of PSA, Luna, have you started watching Luna the Intern, everybody? Have you started watching this show called The Three Body Problem on Netflix? It's a sci-fi show, and I'm not going to ruin it too much, but the only reason I mention it is because Keiko O'Brien, the actress that plays Keiko, is on it. And I was really shocked when she was on it because, I mean, I didn't expect her. And I feel like she hasn't done a ton of projects since Deep Space Nine, but I am happy whenever a Trek, you know, alum kind of achieves new success. And I think she's fantastic in it, by the way. And fun fact before we get into the review, this does tie into Deep Space Nine. This episode, Dax, starts off with just like a random explanation why Keiko is going back to Earth and she's not going to be appearing in the episode. And just, I was like, that's just really random, kind of a off-putting way to start the episode, because this is a very good episode, not the best episode, but it was just off-putting. But it definitely, I feel like they're trying to lay the groundwork to be like, this woman is not going to be on DS9 that much. She's going to, as we'll learn in future seasons and make fun of in future seasons. Now, getting back to what we're here for, is we are talking about the episode Dax. You know, when the Trill were first introduced on The Next Generation, we really didn't know too much about them. It was just a weird kind of symbiote living in that love interest of Dr. Crusher. And then the symbiote was put into a woman, and it was like, okay, is this... But this is the first episode that I feel like we get a really good explanation of Trill society and the process of being chosen to be a host. On the flip side, we have just a great episode that explores the issues of identity and justice and etc. and in a courtroom-esque type of drama. So we're going to get into the episode's strengths, a few of its weaknesses, and kind of just all the themes I just mentioned before. But Luna, let's get into Dax and roll that beautiful bean footage. Okay, so I have to apologize if you're listening we have a tornado warning or watch. I can't ever remember how they're messed up or how to differentiate between them, but we have a tornado warning, I think. And so hopefully the wind's pretty bad and storming and lightning. Hopefully we'll keep power. And I know you're thinking this has nothing to do with Star Trek. But to start off with an overview of the episode, this is really the first episode that's really centered around Jadzia Dax, and it really thrust her into the spotlight. And DS9 is definitely creating a pattern here of doing character-centric episodes one by one. That's par for the course on Star Trek. We've seen it in every series, and it's one of the most interesting and intriguing characters in Jadzia Dax to me, simply because they've had the multiple host, and there's just a lot of potential there for story, which is really, as we'll see in future seasons, really unique and really cool. And we get kind of a little bit further into the depth of this episode. One of the things we're going to be doing on this review is a little bit different than we've done in prior episode reviews. That's going to be going down and taking it through acts of the episode and just giving our opinions through the whole episode and not just kind of this overview lambashing talk of the episode, which is fine. We may go back to the other way, but let me know how you guys like it. I'm just experimenting with different stuff. Nothing wrong with that. Just trying some different things. You know, you go to a buffet. Sometimes you may get honey chicken, especially if it's a Chinese buffet. You may get honey chicken. You may get black and pepper chicken. And then you might get sweet and sour chicken. And then you might... I'm just kidding. I feel like there's a joke in there, but either way. The central plot of this episode revolves around the question of whether Jadzia can be held accountable for actions committed by her previous host, Curzon Dax. To me, this premise, you know, allows for a very good exploration of identity and responsibility across lifetimes that the host have to be accountable for. And these themes, or we're going to get into, are very applicable to us individually. It's a great metaphor for society, and as all great sci-fi does, it talks about issues without beating you over the head in their presentation. So that is what we're getting into today. But let's start off with the first act, and I like to just characterize this as it's the arrest. So the episode begins with Jadzia Dax being arrested by Tandro, and Tandro is a representative from a planet, Calstron 4. And Tandro accuses Dax, specifically the Dax symbiote, of murder and treason, crimes allegedly committed by its previous host, Curzon Dax, against his father, who was a revered general and war hero. Tandro tries to go around the provisional government and to act on the extradition treaty that his planet has with the Federation. And obviously, if you're a big DS9 fan, you know that the Federation is there as a courtesy, as a helping hand, but at the end of the day, the Bajoran provisional government is in control. That absolutely pisses off Kira Nerys, because these people are very good allies with the Cardis, the Cardassians. I feel like this whole intro and first act really kind of sets the table for the episode. It really starts the idea of and putting the seeds of, hey, how can one be held responsible for the actions of a previous incarnation? And it's actually, it's not just fodder. Like, it's actually a vessel, I think, for examining deeper ethical and moral dilemmas, which we will explore. And it definitely adds a lot of tension as well to the scene. You kind of don't understand. It's a kidnapping, what's going on. It definitely gives you a sense of urgency and conflict. And immediately from the get-go, within the first 5 minutes, you know, we're thrust into this complexity of interstellar politics and law, and we're witnessing this challenge that Sisko has to go through of navigating quote-unquote justice across different cultures and legal systems. And I will say I loved and enjoyed that Sisko immediately supported Dax and just offered her to unwavering confidence in her. And that is a theme that we'll see through this episode, but also through the entire series, is one of loyalty and friendship, especially between Dax and Sisko. And it's to me, added layers onto the story, because even in the episode, Cisco's like, hey, I just started to getting to know this young lady, and from what I know, she's great, but I've known Curzon Dax more. So it kind of lays out the relationship pretty straightforward. And it kind of sets it up for this legal battle, which is pretty much just all of Act 2, I feel like. This is when Cisco has to fight extradition to ensure Dax receives a fair hearing on the station. So this hearing is convened with Major Kira acting as the officer of the court, and Cisco is representing Dax. Tandro is arguing the case for extradition. I feel like every Star Trek series has these kind of courtroom style of episodes. You know, like they especially in TNG with Data and arguing his rights, and even in the original series, you hear that coming. So I feel like there's always this courtroom, and this is the first one we've seen of DS9, and it for sure will not be the last. But I love these legal episodes. These are some that I always go back and rewatch, because it's just good writing. And I don't know if it's this particular episode or just in general, but it's something Star Trek really does well. And it's always fun because, like I mentioned before, how they have to navigate the legal procedure. To me, the best question out of Act 2 here in the whole extradition hearing is, Tandro says it best, is this the perfect Trill crime? Does Curzon Dax kill somebody in the heat of the moment? He faces no repercussion for the murder, and at any single point, no matter about statute of limitations, and now his other host can do whatever she wants. And it made me think like of those heist movies, and I'm like, that would definitely, if you get like 5 or 6 Trills together and they're like, hey, we're gonna do it, and then we're gonna give you the host, and then you can enjoy our money, etc., blah, blah, blah. Either way, it's like, yeah, you could eventually like abuse that system where they could just honestly just go from host to host to host. Okay, that's obviously unrealistic. This whole hearing, it's like unconscionable to me. Like, I feel like everybody's on the same side here, that we're all thinking, no, this is absolute bogus bullcrap. Like, you're not gonna hold, like, when Cisco goes through and it's like, look, who earned your degrees, Jadzia, what has your life been like, what has it been the process to be a part of a Trill and the joining and etc., and everybody kind of like, we're on the same side. That's how I view it anyway. I've seen this episode dozens of times. Like, yeah, like nobody, I could never see somebody rooting for Tandro to be like, yeah, gotta put Dax to the death penalty for this crime that she had nothing to do with. So I feel like the writers did that, and then they started poking holes in that theory, kind of like the perfect Trill crime that Tandro raises, and we're like, okay, maybe that's good writing, maybe that's a good point for us to see from the other side. But still, I just think it's bogus bullcrap. And I would have been rioting, and most of this episode I was rioting, because Jadzia is completely quiet and she's not coming into defense. She doesn't want to say much, and we'll get into why. But I will say, speaking of Jadzia and Cisco, their performances are particularly noteworthy. Avery Brooks did an amazing job. He's very compelling and just embodied a commander who's torn between his duties and then is also his personal connections. And you see his frustration when they go to Jadzia quarters and he's like arguing with her. He's like, look, just tell us what happened. Why are you being quiet? Why are you not defending yourself? And in the frustration, he even tells her, if you were still a man, which made me think it was like, are you gonna beat her up? Like, do you want to beat her up and like rough her up to tell the truth? Like, so that line was just interesting, I should say, is the word for it. I do like how this episode does not shy away from the complexities of the premise. The legal arguments presented, like I said, are very thought-provoking, and they make us kind of view both sides of it. Moving on, before we get into Act 3, I definitely think it's intense, the process is to be joined, and how you have to have a sponsor, and then they have to approve you, and then it's very competitive, and there's classes, and it's not just this willy-nilly, fun, happy-go-lucky number one cowboy process. Like, it's a lifelong commitment. And also, it's a commitment to that you're going to be second. So if the symbiote is in danger of dying, you're gonna go first, and that symbiote's gonna be transferred to somebody else. So there's a lot of emotional stakes with being Trill, and they really showed a good example of that, and also how that they are still held responsible to prior host feelings and actions. So, and that is something that will be explored at a massive, massive length in future seasons, as especially like what happens if one of Dax's hosts was a prior murderer. How does she deal with that? Either way, so Act 3, we're kind of exploring the past here, but this is one of the pillars of this episode, which makes it a good episode. And it's kind of where we start to see some of this applicable real life themes that we can apply to ourselves, and where it's bigger than just sci-fi. But just a recap of Act 3 is, so the hearing progresses, it's becoming evident that the case against Dax is not as straightforward as it seems. Sisko and the crew are tirelessly working to uncover the truth behind the accusations against Curzon, and they discover that Curzon was actually on the planet during the rebellion, and then all of these questions about, hey, what's his nature of involvement? And there's a critical turning point here that we see this unraveling of layers of the past come out. We see that they're putting together Dax's whereabouts during the incident in question, and we start to see, okay, there might be something more here. And no one's being completely forthright. And as we all know, that's because Curzon Dax and this general's wife were having an affair. It was the general himself who was actually contacting the rebels. It was actually funny because now the general's considered a war hero, and there's a statue of him, and he's kind of the stand-up guy. And now his son wants to be like, hey, what's going on? Who killed my dad? One of the great things in plot development here, are we responsible for the sins, quote-unquote sins, of the past? And what this episode to me is showing is, especially when it comes to outside bigger than Trek, and I've always thought this too, is that our past family, our past, our parents, our siblings, our genes even, nature versus nurture argument, where do we come from? And how does that affect who we are? So for example, as you all know, my dad is not the greatest man alive. If you've not known that, and if you're not a first-time listener, he is kind of a... I don't talk to him anymore. I've been no contact with him for close to 10 years now. And it just works best for us, etc. I'm not going to go into the specifics. But it's kind of... I had this period of my life, especially as we're going... My first start of going non-contact together was... Am I like him? This in these ways and these personas that I don't like. And there's even times to this day I'll see myself or see some of him inside of me in way I say something or I carry myself or anything like that. And I've discovered, you know, that's not a bad thing. That's okay. But at the same time, like, I'm not him. I'm not in the same person. I have different principles. I have different values. I'm not him. And it took me a long time to accept that. And that we don't have to be beholden to that. And I feel like this episode touches on that some way. Or at least to me. Is that, you know, just because something's happened in the past, that doesn't mean Jadzia is responsible for what Curzon does. Obviously, because what kind of freaking Trill society would function if that was the case? The fact that she still feels, and we'll see this in the last act, responsible and wants to hold on to the promise and vow that she made to the general's wife, that's awesome. And I think that is a good thing, that she has that loyalty, again, in a different manner, but it's showing DS9 has that high standard of loyalty and the price of loyalty, and that she was willing to die for it, to protect her old lover, I guess you could say. And these are, again, just my take and the universal themes that I've seen coming through. But I guess, was that a therapy session? I don't know. Everybody has their hobbies, and this is mine. So moving on to Act 4, like I said, we reveal the truth, the big reveal, everybody. And the testimonies and investigations reveal that Curzon Dax had an alibi for the time of the general's death. And he was with Enya. Is that Enya Tandro? He was getting it on. He was doing the deed. He was doing it. That's an old reference. With the general's wife. So he couldn't be treasonous because he was boinking. We're a family show. I'm not going to say anything else. But so that's a very personal alibi, you know. And obviously is that it's kind of awkward because the general's son and Enya's there, and that's his mom, being like, she's like, yeah, I was doing that guy when your dad was killed. And now she's from Brooklyn, but still, how awkward is that? No wonder, I feel like Tandro's like, okay, that's fine, thanks. It's kind of very cringy. He was like, I don't want to be here. It's kind of, and I wouldn't want to be there either. Like, could you imagine, like, hearing that and realizing, like, oh, my mom had an extramarital affair while my dad was getting killed. So I kind of feel for the man. I feel for Tandro. That is it's an awkward piece of news. So going back to the hearing here, and this is kind of where it reaches its apex of drama and shocking revelation. To me, I feel like this twist doesn't feel too gotcha, like, haha, like, you really are like, oh, that's a good twist, because it's not something that you would expect, where it's kind of like, oh, he was in a coma, and he really didn't know what he was doing, or it wasn't anything like, or it was a dream, and it was very like, oh, that totally could happen, you know, that's very relatable, shows just how great the storytelling is and the writing is on DS9. And plus, again, we got into a lot more deeper themes in the episode as well. But I feel like one of the strengths in the final close is the general's wife, Enya, and her ability to be like, you know, I'm going to save Curzon Dax from this hearing, because she speaks out and she kind of unflatters herself and her history and even her husband's legacy. But, you know, it's themes of loyalty that we've talked about and of honor and truth. And it challenges the audience, and which is you and me. It challenges us to live that way and to have that, which I feel like is a great emotional layer to this episode. Moving on to Act 5, the last act, is we finally get some revelation. And like I said, I always had a problem with how Tandro just immediately dropped it. And now I understand why, because he learned his mom was doing it with somebody else. So, good reason. I love the walk here on the promenade with Jadzia and Edna here. And that's, or Anina. Is it Anina? I don't know. I watched the episode like 3 times and I just can't remember. I guess it's my like Appalachian background with my terrible pronunciation. So I apologize if I have terrible pronunciation. It's not on purpose. So I definitely love this walk between Jadzia and the general's wife here. And it's just kind of one of loyalty, one of, they're just going back and forth, and it's just a very sweet, beautiful moment. And they're kind of expressing mutual respect to one another that kind of transcends time, transcends this weird trill passing on. And it to me, it's just touching that the past can still affect the present in such a way. And I feel like this episode is kind of the first cornerstone that we see in more complex ethical storylines that we see in DS9. I feel like it was still great episode. In closing, this episode is a good episode of DS9. I've said it a few times. It does have some minor flaws to it. Pacing felt really weird at times, like it was go, 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 really slow, really drawn out, really boring. Go, 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 go. And it just couldn't make up its mind with the pacing. And then that's an issue I have with the episode. But overall, I thought it was great. Not the best so far of the season, but definitely good. Hats off to the writers for attacking such a complex and expounding upon the Trill storyline and the raises and answered questions about accountability, the nature of justice, possibility of redemption. And I think that's such a great backdrop for the Star Trek optimistic vision of the future, is that even in the future, we're still debating these ideals and these philosophies and these principles. It didn't reach the heights of the entire series, all 7 seasons, best episodes, but it's definitely notable for season 1. And it's a valuable addition to the Law and Order episodes of DS9, as I like to call. So I will give it a strong 3.8 out of 5. And that has been our review of Dax in the first season of DS9, episode 7. So Luna, without further ado, let's wrap it up. Thank you so much for listening. I love these DS9 reviews. It's been a lot of fun putting them out every couple weeks. So we're getting through the season slowly but surely, so I appreciate it. And let me know what you think. I am very close to maybe doing the season 2 of Prodigy, a non-spoiler review of season 2 of Prodigy. Just let me know what y'all think if you want that. So if you are looking for a new take and a fun take on Picard season 3. I know it's been some time since Picard season 3 came out, but if you're looking for a fun take and a good read, please check out www.jasontalksmovies.wordpress.com. Please check out his blog. I personally loved it. I wish maybe we would do an episode together on Picard season 3. He has great insight, really funny stuff, so please check it out. Plus, he reviews a bunch of other stuff as well. I think he's about to do the new Bridgerton season that's about to drop. So be on the lookout for that, all you Bridgerton fans. He's going to kill me. Anyway, again, thank you all so much for listening. You can follow us on social media, mostly on Instagram now. Thank you all. I think we just hit 70,000 followers, so thank you all for that. And remember to rate, review, and subscribe. Without further ado, second star of the right, straight on till morning.